Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Adi, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about interracial marriage. Welcome to the Pulidos podcast. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. What?
It deserves, this episode deserves a bow, 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 bow.
I feel like this episode, we were kind of like, we kind of like promised it from the very beginning of the podcast. We're like, okay, one of the things we're going to talk about on this podcast is interracial marriage.
Which we kind of have here and there, but...
Briefly, yeah.
I want to apologize because it is embarrassing because we, before creating the podcast, we were like, interracial marriage is going to be one of the things we're going to talk about from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And we have not dedicated a single episode on this topic, so true. We have finally... done it. So it's embarrassing. I apologize, but we're here. Episode 44, and we're going to talk about interracial marriage in a few minutes.
Yes. But first, we want to give a quick update about how Project 333 is going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going great.
Yeah, so far, so as we're recording, this is day 5 for us, and it's going pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't worn any item of clothing more than once yet.
I have.
I know you
because
have.
Because I have 2 shorts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And do you wash them?
I do. Yes.
Good. That's good.
I do wash them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. But yeah, I have not worn any clothing twice yet. But it is going well. And so far, I really enjoy having, you know, just when I look at my closet, it's like, okay, these are the things that I really like. I really like all these things, and it's very nice and easy to get dressed. So
yes, I'm here, and I want to give an update that I thought I had all V-necks. I think I said 12 V-necks. I realized that I have 2 non-V-necks, and they're regular crew neck t-shirts. So and the rest are V-necks.
So a little bit of false
information.
False
there.
Information.
Yes, so yeah. I want to clarify that.
That's important.
Yes.
Also, if you're not following us on Instagram, you are definitely missing out on Audie's daily outfit reveals. I'm not on board. I don't endorse them, but they're there if you want to see them.
I know. And I know you now well enough by now that you, I'm sure I'm like thinking about this one thing. I'm like, I'm sure somebody's not going to like this. Yeah, so like, I already know just how you're, you know, you might react. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. Just like here, hold the phone and record in like in this angle and that's it.
Yeah. If I really didn't like it though, I wouldn't post it on Instagram. So it's not that I really like disapprove.
It's just that you don't like the idea of it. So like if I were to tell you, hey, here's the idea I'm going to do. What do you think? You'd be like, nope.
Yeah.
And discourage me from doing it. So I learned not to just tell, you know, just to
not
just
to
tell
ask,
you, not
just
to
tell
ask
me.
You, just tell you like, here, record this real quick.
Some of them have turned out better than I expected, but.
Okay.
No, they are very, they are funny, but I would never do it.
I know, but it's me.
I know.
Like, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm telling you just to record me
right,
doing it.
Right, exactly.
Because I know that you wouldn't want to.
That's why I'm doing it. I am recording you.
We're different.
Oh, perfect segue into interracial marriage.
Yeah, you're different. I'm different. Everybody's different in this
the
house.
The end. See you guys next time.
No. But Project 333 is going pretty good, and I like it. It's pretty easy, like you said earlier, to bake up the clothes in the morning, and just you already know what you want, and it's already there laid out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think about whatever, you know, so you can follow us on Instagram, because I'll be having some creative ways to reveal my outfit.
Yeah.
What color V-neck, you know, what shorts am I going to wear? You have to find out, and I'm going to reveal it in a creative way.
The outfits may be minimal, but the reveal is maximal.
It is. Yeah. So I have to think outside the box when I'm thinking about like, okay, how should I reveal this outfit? So yeah, it's kind of fun. I like it. Anyway, I want to introduce a new segment on the podcast. We've heard about the Credit Talks.
Yeah. Know,
with a jingle.
Yes.
We've had, well, I think that's it.
I think that's the only one.
Yeah. So this one is called Breaking News, and it's just a time when we say breaking news with a jingle.
Okay.
And and we just talk about anything like happy news, any big news, you know? So okay. Here's the first one that I'm excited to talk about. So without any further ado, here's breaking news. So welcome. So today I want to talk about the exciting thing on the world in the world of Disney, and Disneyland is releasing their program for you to sign up, and it's kind of like the annual pass that they had, but they're changing the name into like Magic Keys.
Yeah.
And what it is an annual like program where you pay the money or monthly payments. And in exchange, you get the privilege to reserve some days to go to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty exciting.
It is.
Because that means that if you do the math, it's worth it if you go at least like twice or, I don't know, three times
pretty much per year. If you go twice in the year, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
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 And it's going to be like less money than you would spend otherwise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's four different keys that Disney has announced.
So if you're not familiar, like Disneyland used to have a very similar thing they called annual passes.
Yeah.
And that got shut down with COVID. They like completely stopped doing annual passes. And then when the parks opened back up, they didn't like reinstate the passes. Mm-hmm. And so they said they were going to be coming out with something new. So now they have this Magic Keys program.
Yeah. So what better way to introduce this new segment, Breaking News, than talking about Disney?
Right.
We love Disney. If you haven't heard a previous episode, especially the fandom one.
Mm-hmm. Disney adulting one. Disney adulting?
Disney adult. Yeah, are we Disney adults, right?
Yeah.
This episode. If you haven't heard that, then you don't know that we're fans, but we are.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. But anyway, we are big fans of Disney. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, there's four keys: Dream Key, Belief Key, Enchant Key, and Imagine Key. So these keys are different programs and gives you different benefits to just have fun and enjoy the two parks, California Adventures and the Disneyland Park in LA. We're not LA, but Southern California.
Yeah.
Anaheim. There we go. Yeah. Anaheim. Anyway, so I'm very excited because we're definitely going to get these programs. We're definitely going to get one of these keys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a matter of like if, but it's when.
Oh, wow.
So, okay.
Well, we know when. It's going to be when we're back in California.
And we know why.
And we know why.
And the how. So. for more information, just go to disneyland.disney.go.com.
Disneyland.disney.go.com?
Yep.
Why is it disneyland.disney?
Just search disneyland.com and
you'll get there eventually.
So. And we're not endorsed or sponsored by them yet.
I knew you were going to say that.
But anyway, the one that I'm looking at, the Enchant Key, that's the one that I think we're going to get. And it gives you 10% off of selected merch and then 10% off of select dining. And then you could hold up to 4 theme park reservations at a time. So that's pretty nuts.
So you can go as many times as you want throughout the year, but at any one time, you can only have 4 days reserved on your, like, in your account.
Yeah.
But once you use one of the days, then you can reserve another one. So you can go many times throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for both parks. So
yeah.
I'm very excited because we have been talking about going to Disneyland this year, and now with this the key program. Yeah, anyway, so that was it. I just want to announce that because I'm going. You're going, right? You're going to come with me?
Yeah, I am going to come with you.
So, yeah, any Disney fans out there, this is the news.
Yep.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. So, like we said, we're finally doing this, and I'm excited
that
we're going to do this episode. So, we're going to focus on interracial marriage. And as we have discussed before, but if you do not know, that's fine. Savannah is Caucasian, and I am Mexican. American.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are both Mexican, and I was born and raised here in the U.S.
Yes.
Of A. Anyway, yeah, so I really think that this is an important topic to talk about and to just spend a whole episode talking about this. I want to first acknowledge that we both have two different and separate cultures. So yeah, so I just want to acknowledge that we both have two different cultures, right? And then we're creating our own culture together as a married couple, right? Yeah. And so within our separate cultures come like just, I don't know, different ways of thinking and, you know, doing things and experiences, right? Opportunities, values, norms that we have. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there, I just want to acknowledge that there's two different just cultures, right? So
yeah. Yeah, I think we just want to talk about it for two reasons, similar to other topics that we've brought up in the past. You know, like the first thing is if anybody is listening who is also part of an interracial marriage, I think just having that like representation and
right.
hearing from someone else who might have similar experiences mm-hmm. to you, I think that can be really helpful. So mm-hmm. hopefully if you're listening and that's you, you can relate to some of the things we're going to share.
Yeah.
And then the second reason is if you can't relate to it, that you would hopefully learn something and just hear about somebody's experience who's different than yours, because yeah. I think that you might not, if it hasn't kind of entered your like realm of experience, you uh-huh. know, that you might not really think about it,
right?
And think about like, oh, what ways might this be different from my marriage or my relationship,
right?
You know, and
yeah,
you might not think that it is at all.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something we want to share, is just that there are differences, there are things that we experience right. that I think you don't experience if you're in a marriage or a relationship where mm-hmm. both people share the same race and culture.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to kind of bring a light to that. And then hopefully, again, you know, hopefully you can relate to it if you are in the same situation.
So yeah, I'm very excited. So I think there's going to be like kind of an introduction, because the interracial marriage, there's just so many things that we kind of like, different angles that we could look at and
yeah.
dissect and analyze and talk about.
Right.
So there's kind of more kind of like a open-ended like introduction
yeah,
to this like kind of concept, right? To this like culture. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're going to talk about like several different things, but maybe not go super deep dive into right. any of them.
Yeah.
But just kind of talk about like, these are some different areas yeah. and, you know, and things that we've experienced.
Yeah. So we have some like notes that we wrote down, and I'm just going to go straight into them.
Yeah.
One of the points that we wrote down is that me, Audie, I feel the most comfortable in my own skin when I'm around people who share like my culture, right? And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whenever I think about moments where I've like, I'm with like other people, all the Mexicans, mm-hmm. other Latinos, Latinas, when I'm with those people, I feel really comfortable, like seeing other people, other brown people,
mm-hmm.
brown skin, light skin, dark skin people who, I don't know. I just feel like there's that commonality of that shared culture
yeah.
with food, with, heritage, with, problems, with issues, with, upbringings, with opportunities, fun things, you know? So there's just a lot of, things there that I'm like, cool, I'm with my people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel comfortable with him. And that's very true, because I'm thinking about, I grew up in a predominant Latino community.
Yeah.
In Salinas. And in a high school, in middle school, elementary school, K-12, right? And then moving away, I still have like those people around me
mm-hmm.
and that I would gravitate towards too, because I felt that comfort.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, my childhood experience, right? With family and friends. So there's that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fact, right? That I feel really comfortable. I'm not saying that I feel really uncomfortable when I'm with other minority groups or with like, with other just cultural groups,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the skin, like
yeah.
skin tone and stuff. Like I that's not true. I just feel like the most comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it makes sense that you would feel like there's, even if you haven't like spoken to the person or gotten to know them at all, or just had a very brief interaction, there's kind of a already a feeling that like you might have some shared experiences, shared understandings about things.
The similarities there. Yeah.
Yeah. And shared just like way that you might see the world or, any, right. you know, things like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm at a store or something, I see someone that looks like me or that speaks Spanish. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, my people. You
yeah.
know, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? I feel really comfortable.
Yeah.
Pride, there's there, you know, mm-hmm. good pride, not bad pride, but just yeah. like, hey, like, cool, I'm with these people. Sometimes when I'm like a taqueria or something like that, you know, like, okay, cool, my people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's that kind of home field advantage, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I look for that sometimes. And so, yeah, it's just... I don't know, it's cool. It's also, like, I think very nostalgic of so many things, memories, right, from my childhood. Like, for example, when I'm at the Mexican aisle, or they're called cultural aisle. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, some stores call it, like, the cultural aisle.
Yeah.
But
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's one everywhere, one aisle in mm-hmm. Safeway and Walmart or whatever. Like,
yeah.
there's that one aisle. And, you know, I could joke around. I could say that sometimes I might stay there for a while just to, like, feel like I'm at home. That's not true, but I just wanted to make that joke, but
okay, that is funny.
But if people do that, you know, that's totally fine. Like, I think that that's kind of cool, and just to be like there and you're like, cool, like I have all these like foods and stuff I had as a kid, like it's mm-hmm. here, you mm-hmm. know. So there's that part of like my childhood heritage and all that stuff. Anyway, so when it comes to our house, our physical home right here in Oregon, having to like explain some references or some jokes or some cultural things is kind of a little hard, right? Because mm-hmm. There's that effort. I need to put that effort, that time, that work to like try to explain something to you.
Yeah.
Right? Which I definitely want to, but there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, well, it's like... Like, I can't say it because of the timing of the joke or
yeah.
whatever. It's like, well, if I explain it, it won't be funny anymore.
Right.
But I still want to, and I do mm-hmm. sometimes. But there's that, like, the effort that I need to put in to explain something.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'm like, oh, well, like, I thought about just a funny joke in Spanish, you know? But, like, I would be the only one laughing. You wouldn't be really laughing.
Right.
And so there's not that shared experience that, like, that sometimes I look forward to,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
For example, if I went with, you know, a group of, like, other Mexicans or Mexican-Americans, they might get it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah. So that's why there's also that, like, that longing of, like, I guess, connecting with my Mexican folks, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, because we could share these certain jokes and stuff and stories. And just by even saying a word or whatever, it will make things funny and, mm-hmm. and lighthearted and stuff. So I think that's very true of any culture out there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Like, that is one thing that, you know, I think we've seen many times, like, you know, certain things that, like you said, jokes or just references to something that,
yeah.
you know, I wouldn't get, or like, I don't know, I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't get why it was that funny or whatever.
Right.
You know, and so I think that that's one thing where, like, I think both of us have experienced it where we'll be like, oh, did you ever do blah, blah, blah when you were growing up? Mm-hmm, and then the mm-hmm. other person's like, no, like, I don't even know what that is.
Right.
And I think more so, I think that's more of an experience for you because obviously, like, you did grow up in the U.S. and you grew up in American culture.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things that I experienced, you did experience or were at least familiar with. There are certain mm-hmm. things, though, definitely that I've said, like, oh, did you do blah, 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 or watch blah, 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 or whatever?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that's a white thing. Or no, I don't even know what that is.
Right.
But I think more so it would be the other direction where you're talking about something that's distinct to Mexican culture that
yeah.
I don't have a familiarity with.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. And also, I think it might be important to point out how it's not like an equal level of unfamiliarity. So when you're talking mm-hmm. about, oh, I would have to like explain this joke or this reference
right.
or whatever, it's not equal between the two of us where like, oh yeah, and I also have all these things that you wouldn't understand or you wouldn't
yeah.
think is funny because you did grow up in American culture
yeah.
like to a pretty large extent.
Right.
And so even though like the family and culture and everything that I came from is different than yours, you still have a lot more familiarity with my culture than I do with yours.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's just important to point out. It's like, well, because I feel like some people might think like, well, that's kind of true of any marriage. Like, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
Like, depending on even if you just grew up in like different parts of the country or different whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's not true.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, it's to a different level and it isn't equal between the two of us. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
What I'm trying to say? Yeah. It's like we, you know, we, as a Mexican American, like have like one foot in, one foot out, in both like American culture and Mexican culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, there's also some like kind of difficulty there, like, finding your identity as a Mexican American, right. Which I'll get into in a minute, but, focusing on this topic and on this point that you said, yeah, it's very true. Like, I think that because of, media and because of, just, I don't know, like, life, like I've seen, like your type, you know, the American culture, like the culture that you have lived and stuff, like I've seen that, and so I'm aware of certain things, right. But certain things I'm like, okay, I had no idea this is done, you know, in this way.
Can I share one example?
Go ahead. Yeah,
because, and I think this is a good example of how, like, for me, they're really pretty small things, whereas for you, I think it's much bigger, like more important parts of your culture that I have never experienced. But I just think this is funny. I remember when we were dating. Actually, I think it was when we were engaged and we were planning our wedding and we were looking at like a wedding registry. I think this is when it was, but regardless.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was like, oh, should we add on our registry these like the corn holders?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, should we add the corn holders for corn on the cob? And you were like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And I was like, look, you know, you put them like on the corn to like hold the corn.
Yeah.
And you were like, I have never seen those or used those in my whole life.
Yeah.
And you just had no idea like what I was talking about.
Right.
And I think that you also thought like, no, that seems very weird and like extra. And I was like, no, this is just how I ate corn on the cob growing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like such a random funny thing. But anyway, my point in saying that is just that it was funny. I was surprised that you had never like seen that before.
Yeah.
But that is such a like small thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I was very, there's a lot of cultural shocks that, that I've like experienced, you know, just, you know, in my daily life, like not just with this marriage, but with like, just, you know, my college life and everything and moving outside of Salinas and stuff. But yeah, that's a funny story.
I just thought it was funny. You were like, what are you talking about?
I thought you were going to say, as far as the wedding registry, that as far as like my side of the family, are they going to follow the wedding registry?
Oh, yeah.
And the answer to that is no. Mm-hmm. Like I was expecting my family, like my extended family, for them to not look at the wedding registry and get something different.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, in most, like, I guess, Caucasian marriages might be like, well, no, you should follow this list. It's kind of standard, right?
Yeah.
But with us, it was more, like, different. Like, no, they're going to guess what we think we want.
Yeah. You know?
That might be a Mexican thing or might just be our family thing, you know?
Right.
So there's also that, like, you have to, you know, try to see, like, well, this is a big people thing or is it just a small people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Behavior.
That's very true.
But anyway, so all that to say, right, there's going back to the point of like, you know, making it hard to explain some references and stuff and everything and jokes, like I do understand that. I think that like I want to put in the work to try to explain to you for so like next time you would be able to understand it.
Yeah.
You know? And but I am saying like it is kind of difficult. You can't just like say something and expect you to like understand it.
Right.
So we have to kind of let us live our life and while explaining things to each other and you know, and so there's that work, I think, extra kind of step that we have to do as a interracial married spouse, you know.
Yeah.
One thing that I had explained to you, and it's sometimes I just want to shout this out randomly when it makes sense, and because I think it's funny sometimes, is I think this doesn't just pertain to our family, but to most like Mexicans out there listening. as a kid, we used to have all these like birthday parties, right? We would go and there's a piñata. That's kind of standard. Yeah, they break the piñata, right, and everything. And then one of the things, one of the Mexican traditions that we followed was where an adult would gather all the kids around, you know, get them together, huddled up in a little like circle. And the adult will like grab some like loose change, pennies, quarters, all that stuff, and throw it to the kids while yelling, "Bolo." And bolo, so bolo is that the act of like throwing some loose change and the kids like picking them up from the, you know, on the ground and stuff. And so so sometimes I would like to like, you know, just say that word bolo and just like, kind of throw some, you know, loose change and stuff and just kind of it's just a funny thing moment and stuff.
Yeah,
but I know as I'm explaining it, it's not really as funny. As I were to do it, right?
Right.
Like any joke. If you have to explain a joke, it's not really that funny anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a story. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's one thing that I was thinking about like that. It's like sometimes I just have to, like when I say it, sometimes I just don't because it's like, well, yeah, like I have to read the room, right?
yeah. No, anyway, I hear you. And I remember when you told me about that and I had never heard of that, but I did think it was funny. But again, yeah, it's obviously not as funny as if I already knew what you were talking about.
Right, yeah. So I think I've said that joke to my, not really a joke, but I said that word to my parents sometimes, and you know, they get a little crack out of it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, it's good.
So let's dive into some challenges within our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think, yeah, because I feel like that what you mentioned is kind of a challenge in a way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's
that like important or like a huge.
Right. Yeah.
It's something very minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about something a little bit more serious, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. And we don't have a lot of challenges listed.
No, we just have two.
That's definitely not the point of this, is to be like, oh, interracial marriage is hard or like harder.
No.
It's just to talk about like
exposing.
Yeah. Like how is it different and what have, you know, like what have we experienced? So I would say one of the biggest obstacles, I guess, has been, Spanish.
Yes. So the language, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Big barrier for there. Yeah. For us. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really didn't know any Spanish when I met you.
Yeah.
And I remember you know, mentioning that, you know, your hope like for the future when we were dating.
Yeah.
That, you know, you mentioned that your hope for the future was that the communication like within your family and with your parents, that that wouldn't be a big issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of like telling me without telling me super directly that you would really appreciate it if I like put forth that effort, you know, to learn Spanish.
Yeah. And with that, I think that like this is before meeting you. I was just kind of, you know, hoping and dreaming and envisioning this, you know, spouse, and which is you now, you know, but I was thinking like, wherever it is, like, regardless if it's a Latina person who speaks Spanish or not, outside of my culture, like, I want this person to have enough, like, love and care that will obviously gradually grow as this person knows me, for them to have, you know, that that love and that their love and care would grow for my family, you know, despite if there's any cultural differences, right?
Yeah.
And then with language and stuff, like, I was hoping that there would be a way that for us to work it out together.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, yeah, like I guess, you know, for you to be interested in like wanting to talk to my parents and like learn some words or, you know,
yeah,
not be super fluent, but just like understand and then, yeah.
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 Yeah. So with that, I think that was something that I did really like care a lot about and do, not just past tense, but it's something that I, you know, really started to care a lot about as we started dating. And so I did start taking Spanish classes like while we were dating. And I was like, I remember really thinking like, I don't know if this is like very premature to think like, oh, should I be taking Spanish classes now? Like,
yeah,
assuming that yeah. like I'm gonna be with this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, either way, I'm learning a language. Like, it's not like it's a negative thing.
Right.
But I did, and it has been like challenging, and mm-hmm. I don't want mm-hmm. to say like, oh, like poor me, like I'm over here trying to like put in all this effort. Like learning a second language is hard, and mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. if you know anybody who has tried to learn a second language as like an adult,
yeah,
probably knows that like it yeah. is difficult. But I think also just for me, like my personality, it's difficult to. I'm always very afraid of like saying the wrong thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which you might not think that based on the podcast, because sometimes I say stupid stuff. But especially like in person, like when I'm just like talking with one person that I don't know very well or something yeah. like that, I really like get scared of saying the wrong thing just in general, like in English.
Yeah.
And so learning a second language, it was very difficult for me because I was so afraid, like I'm going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something yeah. stupid.
Yeah.
I'm going to... And I did, even like with you very early on, like I said something very embarrassing in Spanish. And do you remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
I forgot. No.
Oh. So my point is just that it has been challenging, and it has continued to be challenging for yeah, me because yeah. I just really struggle with like putting myself out there mm-hmm. and trying to like to say stuff knowing that I'm not going to say it perfectly, my accent's going to be very mm-hmm. off mm-hmm. and all of that. And so I say all of that not in the slightest bit as an excuse or like, oh, poor me at all, but I'm just sharing like that has been my experience, that mm-hmm. it has been more challenging than I expected.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I expected. I think I just was kind of going into it like one step at a time.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so that's something that I think we both want for me to become more comfortable mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, to just yeah. be able to bridge more of that communication gap.
Yeah.
Because that really has kind of hindered my relationship with your family and with
yeah,
your parents.
Yeah. There's limitations.
And yeah. There's definitely big limitations there, and that is hard. And, mm-hmm. and so we really do want to, you know, to bridge that. And I think we both feel a big responsibility for like, mm-hmm. for working on that. And
totally, yeah.
And I think we both feel like we haven't done enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally, yeah.
And so, but at the same time, like, I don't want, you know, I don't want you to feel like you are responsible, you know, for me, like, learning Spanish. And I also, you know, I also don't want, I don't think it's necessarily fair for you to always feel like you have to be, like, the translator and like going, you know, between me and your parents. And I mean, I think it makes sense that you probably should, like, to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's hard because like, I want us to be able to just be present, mm-hmm. like there, you know, with your family and also like yeah. your extended family,
yeah.
your community, and not feel like there's that big, you know, barrier.
Yeah.
There and yeah. that big limitation.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. There's a lot of points there, but I think that I don't think you say a lot of like stupid things like you said earlier. I think choose your words carefully and stuff. And I think out of the two of us, I think I'm the one that says like whatever, you know, part of my external processing, you know,
yeah,
way. But yes, I think that I could do a lot better job. You know, I think that I have to put on the teaching / coaching like hat on mm-hmm. and play that role. So I know there's work. I could do a better job. And then also not just that with me, but or you if you feel that way, but also with my parents as well. I think that we could do a lot better job. I'll like 3-4 of us, right? You know, play a better part in that role as far as like, you know, working at that like bridge and try to break this like barrier wall, right?
Yeah.
And so I think we all, the parent, the spouses, they, you know, we could work together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and put in the effort and the love and the care. Not just in words, but in like actions, right? So
yeah.
So yeah, I think that there's that one challenge. And then along with that, another one that we wrote down is there's some stereotypes there of when it comes to our marriage, being together. Some people might assume that we're not married at all. And we've actually have about, I think at the very least, like two occasions or so that this happened where they saw us together, treated us like, well, it was like, okay, well, how are you guys related, right? Which was kind of like very like hurtful.
Like, how do you guys know each other?
Yes. And we mentioned this before at a prior episode. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, yeah, maybe we were
crossing the Canadian border back to the U.S. And I was like, how do you guys know each other, right? And I'm just thinking like, well, would you have asked that if we were both had the same skin tone? If we were both brown, if we were both white, right? Probably not.
Yeah.
And saw both of our like wedding rings, right? You could just kind of put the puzzles together, pieces together to the puzzle. So stuff like that, just certain like comments and thoughts just kind of splurred out. And, you know, so it just sucks sometimes, you know, but, you know, I think that at the end it's whatever. Okay. It is, I think that like I'm happy, you know, our marriage is great and I'm happy being in this marriage with you. And like, I know who I am at the end of the day, like where my identity is from, like coming from and yours as well. And so like, it's, I think we have to play that role of like, well, you know, to inform people, you know, and to be informative and to challenge people as well, if they need to be challenged. Right. As far as like the ways that they choose to acknowledge us, our marriage, or, you know, like talk about us, you know? And so hopefully that makes sense. I don't know.
No, I think so. And so I think along with that, and hopefully this makes sense. This is just me like sharing my experience, and this might not be true of anyone else.
Yeah.
So obviously you talked about, you know, being raised in a community that was predominantly Latino. And so for me, like when we started dating and got married and everything, kind of entering into that space and that environment.
Yeah.
In the one sense, like just objectively speaking, like I was in the minority, like when I was in those situations. Yeah. And that's a very rare experience for me, and I think for a lot of white people. And so there was that sort of feeling of like self-consciousness and like not being able to speak the language and all of that, that I think, you know, a lot of white people almost never experience. If you want to look at this in like the simplest kind of terms, like I'm kind of talking about the whole thing of like, it's not good and it doesn't serve anybody to have the mentality of like, oh, I don't see color. You know, so like I wasn't walking into that situation just like, you know, quote unquote colorblind and being like, oh no, like I totally like fit in here. I totally like, it's like I've been here all along, you know, but I was like aware of, you know, the situation and like the differences and the way I might be perceiving others and the way they might be perceiving me. So I think it's just one of those things where even though like I am in those situations, like I am in the minority, I still want to be aware that like I'm never going to know what it's actually like to be in a minority group in this country. And so to not just like equate that as if like it's the exact same thing. So one thing that we had talked about when we were preparing for this episode was just like me having that kind of feeling of like, oh, I have to like prove myself to like show up here, or you know, am I going to be accepted and all of that. And one thing that you referenced earlier was like a feeling at, you know, as a Mexican American, which I shouldn't be sharing this, you should be sharing this, but you know, you saying like that as a Mexican American, it feels like you have to be more Mexican than the Mexicans and more American than the Americans.
All at the same time. And it's very like exhausting. That's from Selena. That's a movie. So shout out to that movie. But yeah, the dad says that in that movie, and it's true. And it stands out and sticks out because it's hard. It's like, what side do you pick? Do you want to be more Mexican? You want to be more American? Like,
right, because I think, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify one thing. Because I think the point of in the movie, like why he was saying that, was it's like, you're always going to be told that you're not Mexican enough and you're not American enough. It's like, you can't win. You know, if you do this certain thing, then people are going to say like, oh, what happened? I thought you were Mexican. Like, don't you value your culture?
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, if you are trying to like blend into like American culture, then you're still going to stick out because you're not white, you know, and all, you know, you do speak Spanish, like all these other things.
Yeah.
And so that like when you kind of said that and like explained it to me, I was like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that really was very eye-opening to me.
Yeah.
And so when we were talking about that, it kind of helped me see how like my small little experience of like being, you know, quote unquote, in the minority, like in with your family and your community, like those feelings that I experienced during that small amount of time, like that's kind of, if it seems like what your whole life is like and like what your whole experience is like, is that sort of like tension between like two different cultures that you are a part of.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yes. And again, I'm glad that you share that. Right. And, as far as like my family, they embraced you, they loved you and stuff. And like, I obviously we notice the difference, right?
Like, yeah.
You stick out, right?
Yeah.
And so we talked about that and, with my family and like, they didn't really like, it wasn't a bother. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't a thing where like, well, no, we wish you would like carry this, like, you know, a tradition of like marrying another Mexican or whatever. Like, no, at the end, like they said, like, as long as you're in love, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So, which I was growing in love with you, right?
Yeah.
Growing in love with you. So, so there was no problem there and issues there and stuff. So like, but again, like, right. I think we all play a role. We have a role to play, when it comes to this interracial marriage, right, with our family, like they also have that role to play, you know, to help. And as we're wrapping up this like kind of challenging, you know, moments and stuff or like thoughts and stuff, some good things though that come up out of it. Well, one of the things that really has helped us is seeing other friends and other people in interracial marriages. That has been very encouraging to us.
Yeah.
In San Jose, I developed a lot of great friendships, different races, different ethnicities, and it's been wonderful, you know. And so it's awesome to find comfort in even thinking about these friends and just the good times we've had, and then seeing people marry within outside of their own culture. And so it's pretty cool. And so there's that. We have like, you know, some friends that are have interracial marriages, and it's pretty cool to see that and to know that, like, hey, cool, like we're not alone, you know. So
yeah.
I think that there's that importance there that I want to highlight is that, like, to have that community, to have those people and stuff, and to have those like allies, you know, to have those friends, to have those advocates, you know. I think that's cool to also adds a lot of support, you know. And so, because also like they might have similar or different challenges, you know, unique challenges and stuff that that we could both learn from and grow, you know, together. So
yeah.
So I think that's a cool thing that came out of you know, me being in San Jose and just being around these people. So they're pretty wonderful. And yeah
definitely.
Another benefit has been like learning a lot, right? Learning about each other, about our own cultures and our own ways of thinking and stuff, like you mentioned earlier, right? You had these questions and stuff, and you learned, right, a lot of things and about you. Along with that, our families have different ways of doing certain things, right?
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. It keeps things interesting, spicy. When it comes to food, for sure, from a family, right? Yeah, that's something that you have to learn too, is to try to add spiciness in your life,
that's
right?
True.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I ever since moving here to Oregon, I haven't really eaten a lot of spicy stuff, like homemade like salsa. So when I do though, my body responds differently now.
Yeah.
So it's like, whoa, like that's so nuts. Like my body was so used to like this, like I was like accustomed to doing this one thing, right? Like, eating like adding salt, hot spicy salsa all the time. And now I don't really do it, but then, you know, so it's pretty interesting. So
yeah.
Your body does know that, and you know, your body changes. Anyway, Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think this was really good. I think there's a lot more to talk about. In this episode, we kind of focused more on, you know, your experience as far as, like, you know, just the comfort that comes from being around people who are part of your own culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, is really good for people to kind of, like, hear and recognize and see how like that is different, you know, you coming into a marriage and, like, you know, now in our home where I don't share that with you,
right?
And so that is, you know, that is just something that that's different, you know.
Yeah. And I don't want to again say that, like, well, I don't find comfort or I'm 100% comfortable around other people that are not Mexican or brown skinned, you know.
Right.
I just want to say that and voice that, because, like, that's not true. But, like, I would do want to spread that awareness that, like, you know, that there's such importance having people that look like you, mm-hmm. right? And I want to say this now because we're going to have an episode on interracial families.
Yeah.
Which is very important that I keep that comment that I said in mind, because mm-hmm. I'm going to expand on that on when it comes to when we talk about kids in that episode.
Yeah.
Because it's crucial. So there's a big importance, and I don't know why, but I kind of want to cry now out of passion.
Aww.
Because it is very important, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that it's just hard, like, seeing your kids suffer if they don't have that, like, you know, that similarity, like that support, you know.
It is, yeah.
So anyway, I'll stop now because otherwise I'll cry.
Oh.
But.
No, you're right. So, but yeah, so, you know, we shared that, and then also kind of just, and then I also shared some of my experience with your family and your community. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a lot more that we could talk about and share about in the future, but I think that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that you learned something or you were able to relate to our experience. We would love it if you shared this episode with someone or shared on mm-hmm. your social media mm-hmm. if you got any value from it.
Yeah.
That would be great. And make sure you're following us on Instagram and Facebook at The Pulidos, or you can email us at thepulidospodcast@gmail.com.
And as Dory says, I look at you and I'm home. See you next time. Bolo.
You said it so, like, seriously, though.